You're listening to The Pulse.
Hey, hey, Fort Stewart and Wynn Army Community Hospital. It's Kevin Larson coming at you with this newest episode of The Pulse, the podcast for and about Wynn Army Community Hospital that keeps everybody informed about what's going on here. And today, my guest is Brian Kologi, the emergency manager for Wynn Army Community Hospital. We're going to talk about a topic that has a big impact on not only the hospital, but all of coastal Georgia. June 1st is the beginning of hurricane season, and Brian's going to share with us what the hospital does to get ready to weather the storm and what the staff and what beneficiaries need to know to get ready for a storm. Brian, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your background and how long have you worked here at the hospital in the emergency management position?
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm a retired Army Medical Service Corps 70 hotel, which is a plans, operations, intelligence, training, and security officer. I've been in various forms of emergency management, from being a battle captain in a tactical operations center in Iraq, orchestrating multi-echelon responses for troops in contact, to being the medical emergency manager here just last year for Hurricane Idalia. I started working here at Wynn December 26, 2018, and became the medical emergency manager later in May 22nd, 2023.
Fascinating. So you have experience both uniformed and non-uniformed as an Army civilian here at Wynn Army Community Hospital, managing emergencies, managing crises, things like that. So what is your main role here at the hospital in managing an event?
All right. So I serve as the medical emergency manager, and I'm chiefly responsible for Wynn's emergency management program. And with that being said, I work in conjunction with the installation emergency manager to coordinate efforts with our response in support of the installation and third ID.
Shout out to Bo Bradley at DPTMS, who is the emergency manager for Fort Stewart Hunter Army Airfield. I might be working at Wynn, but still, some of my heart still belongs to Garrison. So let's get into the main reason for talking about the thing we're here to discuss, hurricane season. It runs June 1st to November 30th. That reminds me that Bo actually said it was November 31st. Fun fact, I put it in the graphic too. But it's actually June 1st to November 30th. There is no November 31st. But does the Atlantic behave and follow that calendar, or is there a chance that we've seen storms earlier, later, just pop up randomly?
Well, great question, Kevin. So far, spanning the last 8 years, we have been within the normal season. However, the speed of development and movement of these storms has changed. For the last 2 years, we have had a hurricane develop and move so fast that we've gone from hurricane condition 5 to hurricane condition 1 in just 24 hours. The days of storms slowly approaching are over.
So let's talk about that. Hurricane 5 to Hurricane 1, hurricane condition, obviously, is what Hurricane stands for. The model used to be that it was dependent on time. Now it's kind of still connected to time, but the arrival of tropical storm winds or something like that, right?
That's correct. Exactly, Kevin. So typically before 2022, we had a lockstep hurricane condition level approach where 24 hours before the onset of sustained tropical storm force winds of 58 miles an hour or greater would set that hurricane condition level. However, the speed, if you were to go from Hurricane 1 to Hurricane 5, that's about 96 hours. But since Hurricane Ian in 2022 and Hurricane Idalia just last year in 2023, the movement and development of these storms, we went from Hurricane 5 to Hurricane 1 in just 24 hours for both storms. Does that answer your question, sir?
That answers my question, absolutely. It's contingent on how fast the storm's moving and when we can expect to see those impacts to give people the chance to do what they need to do to keep their families safe. So what is the prediction for this year's hurricane season? Are we expecting a lot of storms or not?
So NOAA just made its prediction last Thursday with 17 to 25 named storms, of which 8 to 13 will be hurricanes. And of those, 4 to 7 are to be predicted as major hurricanes. Major hurricanes are hurricanes that are Category 3 or higher. What's aiding this above normal hurricane season prediction is the fact that we have observed water temperatures between 4 to 8 degrees Fahrenheit above historical averages, along with a predicted hottest summer on record.
Wow. So it's going to be a busy hurricane season. What does the hospital do to get ready for this?
Another great question, Kevin. Well, we conduct rehearsals, which is a proven to be one of the best techniques in preparation. To accomplish this, we have an annual tabletop exercise, which is a discussion-based exercise, usually a week or two before the start of hurricane season. During this exercise, each hospital incident management team member discusses what actions their department will take in preparation of a storm by hurricane condition level. We will run from hurricane condition 5 through landfall and recovery. Lastly, we've had a lot of practice with this due to our experiences with hurricanes in the past. We've experienced 7 hurricanes and storms over the past 8 years and have had 3 evacuations.
That's true. I've had the pleasure of working 24-hour shifts for some of those evacuations. Well, not 24-hour, but being on 12 and then being off 12 as part of the stay-behind contingent. And having participated in the tabletop exercise, public affairs does have a role in that in keeping the community informed. And we work hand in glove, just like you do, with the installation partners to keep the community informed. So DPTMS, Garrison Public Affairs, there's that close-knit relationship between the two. And that kind of gets into the question of, yeah, who else do we coordinate with?
Well, we coordinate with and we prepare with installation and 3rd Infantry Division in their own tabletop exercises, along with our Region J Healthcare Coalition partners at Memorial and St. Joseph Candler. Coordination is also made with our higher headquarters for the potential movement of patients and TRICARE waivers for beneficiaries that may need medical services outside our catchment area while they are in an evacuated status.
So that actually touches on a previous question that I was going to ask and kind of jumped over. Dependent on the HERCON level, what activities do we continue? What activities do we not continue? And you mentioned that we might be transferring patients and that people might be evacuating and needing those TRICARE waivers. So what stops and what continues here at Wynn Army Community Hospital?
Okay. So we essentially stop all our outpatient services and surgeries and maintain all our emergency services with ancillary services like lab and radiology that support emergency services. If the storm is bad enough and an evacuation has been ordered, then we'll have to evacuate all inpatients and defer expecting mothers to the network outside the expected affected area to keep them all safe.
Right, and then that evacuation order, memory serves, is determined by the senior commander here on the installation. So the commanding general for the 3rd Infantry Division in his dual-headed role determines that the conditions are right for an evacuation, and then he gives the permissions for people to move out. And it's generally been about 200 miles, but I know that there's been issues with that in the past because of, you know, Florida.
Exactly, because as Florida evacuates to Georgia or farther up or farther inland, then Georgia residents have to continue that much farther inland, which may exceed the 200-mile radius.
Right, and we'll get into that and more things that can be done to prepare for a hurricane for our staff and beneficiaries after we take this short break.
If you or someone you know needs crisis support, dial 988. This 3-digit dialing code connects directly to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, where compassionate, accessible care and support is available for anyone experiencing mental health-related distress. The 988 Lifeline helps thousands of people struggling to overcome suicidal crises or mental health-related distress every day. There is hope. Call or text 988 today.
And we're back. I'm joined by Brian Kaloji, the emergency manager for Wynn Army Community Hospital, to talk about hurricane season. We just talked about the big picture, what the hospital does when it's preparing for a storm. Now let's talk about, and we kind of touched on it a little bit, what the staff and the beneficiaries need to know and do to prepare for a hurricane. So for our staff, what should they be thinking about and doing now that we're in hurricane season?
So first and foremost, they should know if they've been identified as a stay-behind element or critical workforce personnel. Our Stay Behind Element personnel will remain in the hospital to render or provide support to the emergency services we may have to render during and immediately after the storm. These personnel should be prepared to remain in the hospital for an extended period of time, 2 to 3 days. Now, fortunately, we've only had to stay 1 to 2 days for the last 3 evacuations we've experienced since 2016. Our critical workforce personnel need to be ready to return when called upon, and we will send that message through Send Word Now to their cell phones with instructions. For everyone, and I mean everyone, I recommend that they go to the Georgia Emergency Management Agency website where they can either download or view a ready kit and have an evacuation plan with along with the items they may need to prepare their property well before Home Depot and Lowe's are flooded with customers and their stockage becomes depleted.
That's a good point. You know, prepare now for the storm that is coming. That even though the Atlantic is quiet right now, I haven't looked at NOAA, but I'm assuming it's quiet right now. It's best to prepare now because, like you said earlier, those storms develop fast. So speaking of the Stay Behind and the critical workforce, how does a staff member know if they are part of those two teams?
Well, they should receive a memorandum for record from someone within their chain of command that requires the staff member's signature. And that's the staff member's acknowledgement of, hey, I've been identified as a Stay Behind Element or critical workforce personnel. An operation order was published in February this year that contained the MFR template for both DHA and Department of Army employees and soldiers. So if they don't know, then I highly recommend that they reach out to their immediate supervisor for clarification, as we do not need to have any kind of confusion when the time comes.
That's right, because we want to limit the number of people that stay behind for logistics and safety reasons and ensure that those people that are on the critical workforce list get those passes they need to come back, because that's another part of it, isn't it?
It is. It is, Kevin.
So what do we need our beneficiaries to understand when a storm is threatening our area?
So we need our beneficiaries to be prepared. Be prepared for services to be curtailed at a minimum of a day before the storm's arrival, as our own staff has to prepare their own families and property along with possible evacuation. And they need to expect only emergency services during landfall with all outpatient services closed.
And that emergency services caveat, that's pretty important too, because at some point, if there's strong wind gusts, even EMS curtails its operations, correct?
It does. It does. And so basically, if we start to observe sustained tropical storm force winds of 40 miles an hour or greater, then all emergency services, EMS, even law enforcement will cease to move for safety reasons.
So that's pretty serious. I mean, if it's gusty conditions, you need to do what you need to do to stay safe in your home so that those people that provide that care, that first response, they can stay safe too. So that comes to the next question about what can people do to stay safe and prepare their homes for a storm, both staff and beneficiaries.
Okay. So they can first clean up their yard, okay, trim tree branches that are loose or pose a potential threat. Either secure all loose items outside or move them inside. Ensure their gutters and rain drainage is free and clear. If you have time and money, you may want to protect your windows with storm shutters, with wood or aluminum. I do not recommend taping your windows. Unfortunately, 70% of the people out there think that taping an X on their window will offer either some sort of protection or help with the glass should it break. But it doesn't. It's proven not to be effective. Moreover, it can be more dangerous because now you have larger, heavier shards of glass going throughout the house. Many experts, weather experts, will tell you this. So save your money and save your time for more important things like evacuation and preparation.
Right. And when that mandatory call to evacuate comes down, having been on both sides of it, both as an evacuee and as a stay behind, I can tell you that both cases, I prepare my home, I take in the lawn furniture, I get rid of anything that's loose in the yard, bring it into the garage, strap down the things that are too heavy to move as much as possible, and then either get the heck out of Dodge as far inland as I can go, or you know, come to wherever I'm going to be working and then ride out the storm there. So very good point about the X on the windows too. Lots of people, you heard it here, better to just get some plywood or even not tape it at all and just get out of harm's way, correct?
Correct.
So speaking of that, are there any resources that you can recommend to people to help prepare?
So I would recommend the GEMA website, and you can simply on your phone, wherever, just type in GEMA into Google. From there, you can click on the website that populates within the Google search. And then once you're on the GEMA website, on one of the tabs, you can click the Plan and Prepare link, where you'll find Ready Georgia. That webpage has several links. One, make a plan. Two, get kids ready. Three, build a kit. And if you're a business owner, you can get your business ready. These are all helpful and useful in preparation for hurricane season.
Perfect, perfect. So folks, there you have it. You have links to resources to help you to prepare for any kind of tropical weather we might experience here in coastal Georgia. We are no stranger to tropical events here. They happen routinely and even pop up storms. It's the summertime season. A little bit of humidity in the daytime can create a big thunderstorm that can develop right at the commute time usually. So those are things to look out for too. The weather is just, the weather is the weather, and you need to be prepared for it. So Brian, thanks for joining me on this episode of The Pulse.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. So that's about it for this edition of The Pulse. Again, I thank Brian for joining me, and thanks to you guys out there in podcast land listening. This is Kevin, and I'll catch you on the flip side.